this is what this cricket sounds like. And if you're a cricket connoisseur, you know we don't have anything that sounds like this around here. But I suspect I'm the only one that knows that.
Hello and welcome to the very first episode of the Sip and Science podcast, which accompanies the monthly talks and conversations about the latest science and technology that we host here at the Oxford Science Cafe in Oxford, Mississippi. I'm your host, Sumit, and you just heard the voice of Dr. Susan Ballinger. She's an assistant professor of biology here at the University of Mississippi. Her research takes her to the Kauai Island in Hawaii, where she studies the evolution of crickets. We were delighted to host Susan at the Oxford Science Cafe in November 2019, where she gave a talk titled "The Silence of the Crickets." We are all familiar with the constant din and drill of cricket singing, so much so that we take it for granted as an ambient background noise. And beyond that, the only way we're going to notice these crickets is if they suddenly stop singing altogether.
In 2003, something super weird happened, because when you go out to catch crickets, you don't, like, go out with binoculars, right? You go out with your ears. And on Kauai, where we'd always heard crickets before, it was silent.
In order to solve the mystery of the silence of the crickets on Kauai, let's find out why crickets sing in the first place and how they produce the sound.
The way they make this trill is they have specialized structures on their wings. And he has these special structures on his wings so that when he rubs them together, he produces a sound. So it's not a vocalization like the tree frog or like what I'm doing. It's a mechanical sound. And females don't have the ability to make that. They don't have the structures on their wings that produce this sound. So it's only males that are calling, and they call to attract females.
Now, unfortunately for the male cricket, his song also attracts the pregnant females of a fly called Ornia ocracia. It's a pretty name for a fly, but what that fly does is anything but. The female fly actually lays her offspring, the larva, onto the male cricket's body. And the larva then kill and feed entirely on the poor cricket, which is obviously a horrible thing from the cricket's perspective.
You sing a song, you're just looking for love. But instead, the fly finds you, and a week later you're dead, right? So you have to sing. What do you do in this situation? What is the best strategy if you have to call? Because the way the mating system works is that males call, females hear it, and they go to it if they like it.
So the mere presence of the fly on this island triggered a natural selection against male crickets who use the song to attract female mates. And the researchers could very well see the change themselves in the cricket populations.
What we've determined based on sampling effort is that in less than 20 cricket generations, so about 4 years, the population on Kauai changed dramatically. So a female wing is like a waffle cone. There's veins in it, but it's very regular. It's just regular grids. Whereas a normal male wing has all of these structures on it, like I told you, that are involved in making sound and amplifying sound. These new males that were collected, their wings were different. They have mostly a waffle cone, so no more of the resonating structures. And this file is now tiny and turn, so that when those males rub their wings together, they don't make a chirp anymore.
And that is why the island of Kauai fell silent as far as the chirping of crickets was concerned. It's not because the crickets died out, but the male crickets who sang were replaced by those who could not sing to attract a female mate. And I imagine that led to a whole change in the cricket dating scene on Kauai.
If you're sort of out on the dance floor and everyone sort of moves away, then maybe you alter your dance a little bit, or maybe you go to the bar and talk to someone that way, right? And so that's kind of what these crickets can do. Your rubbing your wings together and nothing is happening, hours are passing. What do you do? Okay, maybe I'll go for a walk. Maybe I'll bump into somebody. I like to think of it as cricket brownie in motion. And so, for the nerds in the audience. And so here he goes, he's wandering around. And boom. He just happens to run into a female that may or may not be willing to mate with him. But the males that don't go anywhere have no chance, right? So you're increasing the likelihood just a little bit, which might be enough.
So just getting out of the house and wandering around turns out to be a good mating strategy for these crickets, which is something we can also learn from. And the second thing that they've adopted for turns out to be rather cheeky.
They have another tactic, which is called satellite behavior, where if there are males in the population that call, so it requires that there be some normal wing males, right? If a male is calling and there's a female that's interested in him, she is clearly in love with this song, then another male who's been hanging out nearby and listening and having no luck can head her off and intercept the female before she gets to the male that she intended to mate with, right? She does not know that these are two different males. And so this is called satellite. Basically, he hangs out near another male that is producing calls. He's attracted to that calling and gets females that way.
This is the second really interesting finding of this research. Not only did the crickets on Kauai lose their ability to sing, but growing up in the silent environment actually selected for crickets which are good at exhibiting these alternative mating strategies. What's incredible is that this whole transition took place in a very short time. It's indeed fascinating to see evolution in action within human timescales. The Oxford Science Cafe features monthly public talks and conversations about science for the local community here in Oxford, Mississippi. We are sponsored by the University of Mississippi Office of the Provost, the Department of Physics and Astronomy, and UM Women in Physics. Thanks a lot for listening. See you next time.